You can get a sense of Ben Vaughan's humor from some of his song titles, like I Feel Like Jerry Lewis in France and I'm Sorry, But So Is Brenda Lee. And from his music, you can hear his immersion in the roots of rock and roll. Vaughan is a songwriter, singer, guitarist, and inveterate record collector. He recently spent time in Capitol's record vaults producing a reissue of sessions by rhythm and blues man Johnny Otis. Ben Vaughan grew up in Camden, across the river from Philadelphia. Ben Vaughan's fourth album, Dressed in Black, features guest appearances by John Hiatt and Marshall Crenshaw. Alex Chilton, formerly of the Box Tops, sits in on piano on this track, Hey Romeo.
One, two, one, two, three.
Hey Romeo,
what are you gonna do?
Hey Romeo,
now that she's leaving you.
Never thought she'd leave a man like you.
Hey Romeo,
you better face the facts.
Hey Romeo,
she won't be coming back.
Hey Romeo,
this is the final lack of train she's a riding's heading down the track.
Hey Romeo,
da-da-da-da-da-da.
Hey Romeo,
da-da-da-da-da-da.
Hey Romeo,
da-da-da-da-da-da. Romeo.
Songs you write are inspired by rock and roll of the 1950s and 1960s. Is it because that was the period you grew up in, or is it something else about the music?
Well, I started listening to AM radio, I guess it was in about 1964 when the Beatles came out. But I quickly caught up with Chuck Berry and Everly Brothers and New Orleans music and R&B and everything that came before, just because I had to know where this came from, where rock and roll started. So I kind of started looking back at a very young age.
Who helped you look back? Did you just go to the record stores and buy things?
I had an uncle who was kind of a delinquent. at least my mother told me he was anyway. And he kind of sat around the house and he did odd jobs for cigarette money and everything. And he would just buy rock and roll records and play them for me.
When you're writing a song that's inspired in part by some earlier music, where do you draw the line between stealing a line and paying homage to a favorite record?
What I do is I put the records out, and if anybody wants to sue me, they can contact me. That's how I feel about it. No, I think that I draw on it as reference material, and then I'm writing a song, and I just happen to place it in the style that I like at that time or whatever.
I want to play some of Too Sensitive for This World. Did this start out as a serious song or a satirical song?
It started out as a title that I got, and when I got the title, I thought, wow, that's a great title. You know, I'm going to have to write a song with that. And then I didn't do anything with it for about a year, and then the song itself is serious, but the title is potentially funny. You know, it's like, I have a tradition of that. I'm Sorry, But So Is Brenda Lee has the same thing, and there's a few others that are basically disguised. It's a very serious song, though.
Every day starts with a broken heart. I must be too sensitive for this world. Well, I know it ain't right to cry every night. I must be too sensitive for this world. And the world is such a callous place. It's a wonder, it's a wonder,
it's a wonder.
And it won't survive.
What came first for you, writing or singing?
Writing. I reluctantly became a singer just to basically pitch my songs to other people. That was the intention all along. You know, I was hoping to get other people to do my songs so I could sit around the house, you know, get a royalty check and, you know, sit on the porch.
No such luck, huh?
Nah. I'm working hard now.
So what do you think of your voice? You were reluctant to sing.
Well, I don't mind it so much, you know. It's kind of in the vein of like Johnny Cash or Neil Diamond or somebody like that, where you know, they don't have great voices, but you know it's them. It's a distinctive style, and it's got my personality stamped all over it. And so it's it represents me and who I am.
Now, I read that you didn't make a living with your music till you were around 27.
Even then, I was still working.
What kind of work did you do up until then?
Well, I got out of high school, and I didn't go to college. I got a job at a knitting mill and did that for a while, and then I worked in a factory on an assembly line. And then I was a landscaper, which is basically a glorified term for mowing lawns. I did that for 3 years. And with no sign or hope of getting out of it either. It wasn't like a summer job for me where, you know, I could see the light at the end of the tunnel. Man, that was my lot in life as far as I knew. So I was writing songs that whole time, not showing them to anyone or not really believing myself that they might be any good. I was just doing it to satisfy myself. And I think that really most of my songs wouldn't be possible if I hadn't lived as a total nobody for as long as I did.
You have this great song on your first album called Wrong Haircut,
mm-hmm.
about someone who keeps getting shut out of things because he's got the wrong haircut. What inspired that song?
The New York club scene. In 83, the Combo did a show at Danceteria, which was it's like Satyricon, you know, all these different levels of strange behavior. And a very elitist behavior. And I was wandering around before I went on, and there's an elevator. And so I waited for the elevator because I wanted to go to one of the other floors and see what was going on. And the elevator door opened, and there was a black girl with a blue mohawk running the elevator. And she just looked at me and shook her head no and closed the door and wouldn't even let me on.
Oh, she was one of the guards?
Yeah, what? She worked there, you know. And it just seemed to me like I got this whole vision of there someday being a haircut police, you know.
Stop. Uh-oh, wrong haircut. Well, the music went back on and the people resumed. So I tried to look cool as I walked around the room. Well, I sat down next to a girl with way out hair. I started talking about art to prove I ain't no square. Up her drink and she threw it in my lap. Uh-oh, wrong haircut.
Do you think that the rock scene has gotten any less elitist in terms of you have to look right and behave right and know the right people to get into the clubs?
Well, I don't know about clubs so much, but you know, now with videos has basically changed rock and roll, and hair is more important than it ever was now. You know, if you watch MTV, you know, hair is very important. If you don't have the right hair, or worse off, if you have no hair, forget it, you know, unless you shave your head. But it's a very important thing now, so I think it's pretty much the same.
How would we describe your hair?
Unkempt.
Yeah, right. Guess that'll about sum it up. When you look ahead, what kind of future do you see for yourself as a performer? I mean, I call it cynicism, but I just have a feeling that someone as quirky as you probably wouldn't be, you know, like the kind of big star,
mm-hmm.
maybe not get to like even the major label, and it's possible if you did that they wouldn't pay enough attention to make it really matter. Do you know what I mean?
I look at this all as an experiment that I started when I decided that I really didn't want a day job anymore. I'm already a success. I don't have a day job. I'm still amazed by that. Every morning I wake up and realize I don't have to get in my car and drive to some factory or, you know, office or anything like that. I realize that what I'm doing has saved me and that I'm already successful enough, and I'm, like I said, it's like an experiment. Like, I'll take it as far as I can take it, but I'm really not setting goals for myself that are leaving me frustrated now or could leave me frustrated. I think that would be very stupid.
You know, you've listened to a lot of rhythm and blues and jazz over the years, and in both of those musics, there was a history of people of all ages playing it. You didn't have to worry, like, when you got over 30, when you got over 40, mm-hmm. what future would you have in music? Has that given you, do you think, a different perspective on, you know, on your future in music than, say, some people who only know rock and roll and have always thought of this, like, age crisis?
Yeah, I really do think so. I think that I have some records by people like Johnny Hodges and Duke Ellington where their playing got better when they got into their 50s or 60s, you know. And it was just, they kept doing it, and they just kept getting better and better and better. Yeah, I think that it's, I can see myself doing this for a real long time.
Thanks a lot for talking with us.
Sure.
Ben Vaughan's new record, Dressed in Black, is on Enigma Records. This is The Man Who Has Everything.